All right, everybody, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Bender with the Public Affairs Council, and I'm really happy to see there's about 30-35 people in attendance this afternoon. It's great to see so many of you interested in this topic and interested in sustainability generally. What we want to do today is talk a little bit about the UN Sustainable Development Goals, both quickly the goals overall, but then more specifically about how we can use them not only to talk about the sustainability work we're doing, but public affairs work more generally, and then try to find some links between the sustainability goals that the UN has laid out and business goals that your organization may have laid out. And we're looking forward to having that conversation with everybody. So let me just quickly go over kind of what we want to cover, and then we'll get to it. We want to just give everyone a very brief overview about the Council. We know there's some folks on the line today that aren't members and don't know about our services. Then we'll talk briefly about the UN goals that we suggested. We then want to spend a good chunk of time on integrating. How do you take what the UN has laid out and find some ways to materially integrate that work into your organization? So it goes from being a nice to have to a need to have, and that people that are not in sustainability or in corporate responsibility or in public affairs generally appreciate the value of working on the SDGs. We're fortunate to have with us John Friedman from WGL, who will provide a case example a little later on in the presentation. One of the things we always try and do is give people a sense of not only some of like the theory and the tools, but how these things are actually working in practice. And John has a nice example of that from his company's work. Then there's just a brief note about social expectations that I want to provide based on some data that we have and how it may work as a lever for you to make your case, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. In terms of the Q&A, you should see a chat box, or a question box, excuse me, on the lower left-hand corner of your screen if you're online. If you have questions, please insert them into that box at any point during the presentation, and what we'll try and do at the end is allow a good chunk of time to answer them. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Very quickly about the Public Affairs Council, you know, for those of you that know us, great. For those of you that don't, what we try and do is really be your best friends. You're doing public affairs every day. We try and think about the best ways to do it every day. So while you're out actually having to lobby or having to advocate or having to produce a sustainability report or having to report to the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, we are trying to help you find the best practices and ways of doing that. There's a variety of services that we offer that you can see on the slide here, from the webinar that you're all involved with today to benchmarking, best practices, reports, those kinds of things. And another service that we do offer, if it's ever of interest or use to any of you, is that we can take a holistic look at your sustainability, public affairs, government relations organization, kind of however you cut the cake, and sort of benchmark it and say, you know, look, if you want to get more bang for your buck, if you want to organize more for impact, here are some ways to do that. So think of it as like management consulting, but for CSR or for CR or for public affairs generally. So if those services are ever of use to you, we're here and we're happy to help. Now let's get to the topic at hand. Let's talk about the Sustainable Development Goals. So many of you know what these are. They were laid out in 2015 by the United Nations, and they were a part of this 2030 agenda that the UN had. There were 17 goals laid out, as you see suggested here on the slide. And in general, they all deal with how organizations can help civil society improve the conditions that civil society experiences. So number one is an example. The UN wants to see, as you could guess, no poverty. You know, number 15 is an example. Is life on land quality? Is it high? Are animals protected? Are peoples protected? Many of you have a good amount of familiarity with these, so we won't go into a ton of detail, but I think to sort of set the stage, this gives a sense of where we are. Now, what's important about these, I think, for our discussion today is this, is that on the left-hand side of this slide, what you see is language that actually came out of some of the Sustainable Development Goals themselves, or some of the summary language that the UN used to summarize the goals. And you see certain sections there that are boxed in red. And what I've attempted to do on the right-hand side of the slide is say, okay, you know, here's what the UN said in the language, but here's what it actually means. So if you look at number one, there's this idea of being hand in hand. The UN, as you all know from dealing with it, or you have seen from watching it, is an organization very much based on partnership, working together, public-private partnership, civil society working together with business, so on and so forth. So to that end, one of the things that's very important for constructing sustainable development work and then getting credit for the work that your organization is doing is showing partnerships, showing how two, three, four, five, or many partners are working together towards an end that the UN has laid out. That's one of the ways that you will raise the attention and the profile of what you're doing to the folks in the UN. Second of all, and third of all, you know, you see this idea here, this idea of governments are expected to take ownership. And I think, in a sense, what the UN is really talking about there is that economic development is not enough for governments. You know, a lot of time before the Sustainable Development Goals came out is governments were primarily interested in achieving some sort of economic development at either a local, a state, or a national scale. And I think what the UN is saying is, like, there's more to it than that. You know, poverty is not just an economic development thing. Life on land is not just an economic development thing. Generally, this gets at the same thing we're talking about partnership. But specifically, I think what the UN is talking about here is the relationship between the corporate sector and the NGO sector. And those sectors, as you probably have experienced to some extent, can sometimes be at odds. And so what the UN is saying as part of its agenda with the SDGs is that it would like to see those type of organizations working together. So when you're thinking about your SDG work, you know, one of the things for you to think about is, can we partner specifically if you're a corporation with NGOs? Or if you were in, say, a trade association space or another space, what partners can we employ that would get at the theme that the UN is trying to articulate? And then the third is this idea of primary responsibility. Now, the UN certainly believes that because if, you know, based on the folks I know there and I've talked to, it sort of believes the buck stops there. But I think also the UN acknowledged, to some extent externally, but definitely internally, that when the SDGs were announced, it would not be possible for government alone to get the work done. And that wasn't to suggest that government wasn't doing a good job. It's just to suggest it's a big lift if you look at all the SDGs. So what the UN is asking is for government to get some help. Now, in a sense, that relies to the partnership model, but I think that puts you, whether you're at a trade association, a company, or some other type of an organization, in a good spot, because it means if you have an idea as to how your organization can positively impact an SDG, you can approach a government and propose it and know that, in essence, you are communicating something that the UN has communicated to that government, albeit behind the scenes. So there's an alignment there that you can sort of use to your advantage. Now, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about in terms of getting recognized is that framing and proving what you're doing is really important. And this, in a sense, is not just about the SDGs specifically. This is about sustainability work, corporate responsibility work, social responsibility work, and public affairs in general. You know, we talk a lot about we got to get the job done, but it's not just enough to do the job. You know, you've got to recognize that you've got to sort of articulate and own what it is you've done. Sort of this idea that if you have a really strong good or service, let's say you make a widget, right? It's not just enough to put the widget on the market. You've got to sell the widget. You've got to frame why it's important. You've got to prove why it's important. You've got data to back it up. So this is basically to say that it's important that you frame and prove the work you're doing in the context of the SDGs. This is an example from the Qualcomm site, and as you see, I have two particular words boxed here in red. And what Qualcomm is trying to do, and probably many of you have tried to do, is make a relationship between their company, a relevant national issue to government. As you'd guess, STEM education is very important to state and federal government here in the U.S., and the SDGs. If you look at the bottom right of that screenshot, you see that there are four SDGs there that Qualcomm feels like they're working on with this initiative. So basically, they've tried to create a linear relationship, a logical progression between their company, social issue that is important to government, something beyond economic development and the SDGs. And that's one of the most central and important ways not only to construct CSR work around the SDGs, but to get credit for it. And I hope that's a kind of good example of that case. Now, let's talk a little bit about integration. Again, remember, if you have any questions on any of the material we just covered in that first section, feel free to drop them into that box there on the left. First of all, it's really important to think of the SDGs as business opportunities. Now, I know that sounds pedantic. Some of you probably already do that. And by this, I don't mean to suggest that all of you have to work at a business. When I say business, I mean a growth opportunity. If you work in an NGO, if you work at a trade association, if you work at a company, there's some business end that you want to try and deliver. So that's what we should think of when we see the word business there. But the mindset should be the SDGs, to use a phrase I used earlier, are not nice-to-haves. They're need-to-haves. Yes, of course, you're in the business of trying to create positive social change, but that doesn't mean at the same time it can't be used to create a business opportunity. The SDGs, as you see in that second phrase, are ways of creating, maintaining, or growing a market. Now, I think a lot of times in this space, we shy away from wanting to say that. But I think what I'm trying to suggest to you here today is, like, not only is it okay, but it is a way to take the SDG work and translate it into terms that the rest of your organization will understand. So as an example, if you went to go meet with one of your colleagues in another division of the organization and you talked about, we're going to engage in this partnership around the SDGs and it's great because we're helping society, you know, they might not follow you. And a lot of that falls on us because we haven't done a good job describing it in their context. If we, however, went to that same partner and said, look, we know your end is X. We're going to work on the SDGs because the end of that SDG is also X. And so we think that is a way of also achieving your end. You suddenly explain it in a way that they get it. Oh, okay, I get it. So think about trying to explain things in that mindset, and that means adopting that mindset. What that ultimately does for us is what you see here on this slide. You know, on the left slide, and probably some of you experience this, there's a plan for working on the SDGs, which may be part of sustainability, it may be part of corporate responsibility, it may be integrated to public affairs, and then there's a business plan. And the only time they come together is when you need to react to something, right? Like when there's a problem, when you hit a roadblock, when suddenly somebody goes, oh, I got it, and a light bulb went on. But what we're trying to do is create a linear progression like the one you see on the right side. I'm calling it sort of a unified strategy, where your public affairs plan or your CSR plan or your CR plan or all of them, if they're combined in your organization, included an integration of the SDGs and drove business. So there's a relationship between something you might do on Capitol Hill or something you might do at a state house, something you might do with an NGO, and the thing you're doing with the UN and the organization at large. The advantage of doing it that way, again, is you're speaking the language of the rest of the organization, and that way, when the rest of the organization is thinking about its business priorities, its organizational priorities for an upcoming year or an upcoming time period, they think about the SDGs as one way to get at those things. So in other words, instead of something other, the SDGs become a tool in the toolbox of those folks that are involved in somehow relating to external stakeholders. Now, let's talk about getting buy-in for that particular approach. So here you see a relationship. Here you see a slide that shows the relationship, and this is from the Anheuser-Busch website, between the SDGs and the targets for a particular organization. If you look on the bottom of the right-hand graphic, you see five icons representing various issues that are important to the organization, smart agriculture, climate, so on and so forth. And then you see what they've done here in this sort of circular visual. On the outside are the SDGs that they're working on. Notice they're not trying to work on them all. They're working on the ones that are most specific to them. And then on the inside, what you see are where there's an alignment between what the company is trying to do and what the SDGs are trying to do. And this clearly is how they're communicating it to the world. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up in the context of today is it means they've figured this out internally. They've created, again, that alignment that we talked about on the right-hand side of this slide. This is just a more visual interpretation of it. This helps people that are not CSR or CR people get it. So this is one way to think about getting recognition, creating buy-in, and it also works internally or externally. You know, think about if you're a company or you're a trade association and you want to go talk to an NGO. This kind of tool allows you to say, hey, look, we've had this internal conversation. We have strategy alignment. The whole organization, like you, wants to work on smart agriculture. You know, say you were talking to Future Farmers of America. And like you, that means we can work on the related SDG. Now, here's another example I wanted to show you. And I wanted to talk in this example about the importance and value of being really specific. Okay, so here, this organization's website, this is two examples of where they feel like they're working on SDGs. You know, number one and number three. Now, take like 15, 30 seconds here and just read the descriptions to the right, the one under no poverty and the one under good health and well-being. And sort of come to a mental opinion about which one you think is stronger. I'll give you just 10 or 15 seconds. Okay, let's keep moving. Now, I wish we could take a poll, but we can't. But my guess would be most people think number three, the language on number three on the right-hand side, under good health and well-being, is a little stronger. And I would agree with you. There's nothing wrong with the language under one, but it's pretty general. You know, talking about people without electricity and how the importance of affordable, reliable energy is critical to them. That's all true. Number three, though, is much more specific. It's talking about the organization, in this case Chevron, a specific NGO, this global fund, a dollar amount, where they're working, what they're doing. So, you know, think back to middle school, right, when we were all writing book reports and the big emphasis was on who, what, when, where, why. This is the who, what, when, where, why slide. And if there's one takeaway from it in terms of articulating the value of working on an SDG, both internally and externally, who, what, when, where, why, extremely important, okay? Now, let's move on and let's talk about a couple other tools before we get to John's case study. One of the challenges that people have is trying to relate the SDGs to organizational opportunities, business opportunities, as we were talking about earlier. This is a way to do that, okay? So most of the time when we think about CSR, corporate responsibility, public affairs trends, as an example, what you see is that small box. We think about the immediate sort of 3, 6, 12 month timeline. You know, what are the big challenges? The SDGs, though, as you can guess, are focused much more on societal trends, the time horizon of like 3, 5, 10, 20 years, okay? Your organization is also to some extent focused on that. It's focused on its 3-year plan, its 5-year agenda, you know, where it wants to be in 3 or 5 years. So one way you can relate the SDGs to the organizations is sort of run this exercise and draw a relationship between where the organization wants to be in 3 to 5 years, what the relatable or relevant SDG is that drives that ambition, and then the business trend it would drive, and then the CR or CSR thing you need to be working on now in order to get that thing 3 to 5 years from now. To make that much more tactical, you know, let's say you are at an organization, you're at a trade association that represents manufacturing, or you're at a company that does sort of manufacturing, okay? One of the societal trends that you know about is the need or the desire for to work on climate change, to promote environmental stewardship, so on and so forth. Now, the business trend that that would relate to would be sourcing that is either sustainable or domestic, so there's not a lot of imported of goods and materials, that kind of thing. And then that means that immediately, if you're in public affairs or you're in CSR or you're in a combined function, you need to be working on CSR initiatives, CR initiatives, policy or regulatory initiatives that promote sustainable local sourcing. There's an SDG associated with that. So you could say we're going to work on this SDG because it gets to our long-term vision of having our supply chain be more environmentally friendly, and we're going to do these and these things today to get there. So this is a tool that sort of helps you make those relationships between the trends. Second of all, let's talk about KPIs. One of the other big challenges with the SDGs, like that example you saw, that you saw on this slide, is that they can be a little bit loose. Remember, the description here in the No Poverty was good, but it was a little vague maybe, right? Here, same thing. When you construct KPIs, there's a difference between having like one that's good and one that's a little vague, okay? So look under goal one. These are just two example KPIs that I put together for our conversation today. We've got ending poverty. Give those a quick read. Just under goal one for the moment. All right, now, again, as we can't do a poll, but my guess would be most of you are probably thinking the second one is a little better. And I would agree with you. The second one is better because who, what, when, where, why, it's specific. It's measurable. It's time-bound. It's specific. It talks about something that wants to be delivered that can be measured. And that's one of the challenges that we face a lot in CR is that the SDGs are these big goals, right? And they've got targets associated with them, but the targets are still big targets. And if you took those targets into one of your folks that was on the business side of the house, their first response would be, how are we as one company going to do that? So you've got to find a way to relate the SDGs. And one of the ways to do that is to ground them in specific KPIs. So this exercise was to show there's a difference between a vague and a specific one, and I would encourage you to think about that when you're constructing your own KPIs. Just a few more tools, and then we'll sort of get to our case example. Now, one of the things that you remember we talked about early on is that the UN definitely, in the way the SDGs were set up and constructed individually, talked about the importance of stakeholders, working together, partnerships, companies engaging with civil society, so on and so forth. One of the challenges that we face in CSR and CR is that, A, there's so many stakeholders. Who do we pick? But then, B, how do we show that actually engaging with a group, spending money on partnering with a group or becoming a member of a trade association or supporting an NGO actually has benefit? And the next couple slides are some tools to hopefully help you achieve both of those goals. So this slide is basically to say that we can do a heat map. We can do a stakeholder map comparing on the x-axis the impact of an SDG on the company, low or high, and then the impact of an SDG, the impact of the business on the larger organization. So in other words, we could say, based on this heat map, we're going to look at a particular stakeholder, let's say stakeholder A, and we're going to say this stakeholder has a high ability to impact our business, our way of working, whether that is low or high. And then at the same time, this stakeholder also has, in A's case, a low impact on the SDGs. So maybe we want to engage with them, maybe we don't. Now look at O as an example. O, we're saying, okay, so this group could have a medium to high impact on our organization, whether that is good or bad. At the same time, it could have a really high impact on the SDGs. So maybe we want to think about engaging with this group. Now look, this is not science, it's not exact, but it is potentially more quantification in terms of stakeholders than you've done in the past. And one of the things that we find, especially with the SDGs, is the more you can be specific and use tools to quantify the reason to be engaged, the more you are likely to get support from other parts of the organization for wanting to engage. So in other words, let's say you didn't do this and you just went and said, hey, I need $20,000 to work with the Blue Parrot group. You know, you'd get a lot of questions. And you may need the money, but you're still getting a lot of questions. But if you have a tool like this, you are more likely to get what you want. It's not going to assure you success, but you're more likely to get what you want because at least you have shown that you want to quantify. Here are two other tools that will help with the same reason. This is a way to assess potential SDG partners with metrics. And this came from a report that I particularly like. And if you click on either of the graphics in slide 17 or slide 18 when you get the deck, it will link to the PDF of the report. So you will be able to find these tools for yourselves. But what you can see here is on the first column, on the left-hand column, we're trying to look at particular impacts on the organization, right? And then on the right row, the top row, we're looking at your rating of whether or not there are gains, changes based on those criteria. This is another way of doing what you see here in this slide, except as you'd see, what's here in this slide is more elaborate. The next tool is a similar approach, right? This is a way to even take it a little bit more detailed further. So we're looking at like costs now. And I think this is a particularly powerful one because the folks outside of CSR or CR or public affairs in your organization often think that we on our side of the house are a little bit soft when it comes to costs, that we can't actually quantify things. This tool will help you quantify things and help you be able to go back and say, hey, look, you know, we can tell you that working on this SDG is going to have a major impact on the business, hopefully X amount, and it's only going to cost Y amount. So think about just from that perspective, you could show we're going to have this huge impact on the business by working on this SDG, but it's only going to cost us this much. You've made a powerful financial argument, not just a social argument. You've turned a social argument into a financial argument, and that is in power. Now, on that point, the last tool I want to leave you with before we turn things over to John for a case example is this one here, right? A lot of times what we hear from public affairs folks, sustainability folks, government relations folks, writ large, is that it is very hard to demonstrate the financial value of working on a CSR, CR, public affairs initiative. And we agree that's tough. This is one tool that might help you have more success. And I want to preface this by saying this isn't the only tool. And I'm not suggesting that everything on this slide is the way to do it. What I am suggesting is that if you leave this slide with one thought in mind, it is that if you can move in the direction of metric quantification for the SDGs, you're more likely to have internal success and external success by showing partners that working with you makes a difference. So you see in the box there on the lower right a standard return on investment calculation, and somebody or some part of your organization uses this. You know, you're basically taking the gain of an investment, you're subtracting it from the cost, and then you're dividing that from the cost on the bottom of the equation. And that gives you a ratio. You know, here's what the ROI would be for X amount of investment. So what I've done here is suggested a way to extrapolate that for SDG work, CSR work, CR work, you name it, right? On the left-hand side of the table, you see a variety of criteria that you might be working towards. And they're quantified in terms of pretty specific things. And the reason is this, right? Your company or your organization may get involved in SDGs. And they may even get involved in the SDGs because there's social good there. But it's not just because there's social good. It's because there's social good and there's business opportunity for you, whatever business you might be in. So these are some examples of what a business end might be. You know, gain, protected, try to get money, whatever it might be. The trick there is to work with your finance people and try and figure out what that amount would be. And that is the value of the initiative you're going after. So as an example, that first SDG, you know, let's say you're an agriculture organization or you're a hunger organization. You're not just going after the poverty one because you want to see poverty reduced. Clearly that's a motivator. But you're also going after the poverty one because you want to see poverty reduced and you believe you've got the best solutions to help do that for row crops, or you've got the best solutions to help do that for another type of crop. There's a value in that. Your business has assessed the value. So that's where you would put that. Then on the right side of the top, And on the bottom, basically it's the same, but what you're trying to get at here is the cost to the CSR function, the CR function, or the policy function, if some of you are part of your public affairs operations, going after it. You know, have you had to travel? Are there memberships? So on and so forth. What I have here is not to suggest that this is all you would consider. It's just to suggest these are some of the factors you might consider, and you can customize it for your organization. Then you run this calculation. Now, think about the difference, right? You could go and you could talk to your folks and say, hey, we need to work on this SDG because it creates business opportunity for us and it's in line with our mission as an organization. It's all good. It's all good. Or you could walk in there and say, hey, we need to work on the SDG because it aligns with our company's values, it creates business opportunity for us, and we believe it's quantified at X amount, and it positions us as a market leader in this way. That's way more powerful. So again, don't think this is the only way that you got to do it, but it is one way of working on it. The similar thing you see is on by number two here on the right-hand side of the slide. This is just to say, at the same time, you should try and suggest what you think the probability of success would be. So in other words, you know, do you have the ability to influence the policy and regulatory environment? Do you have the key connections that are necessary to engage in a an SDG effort? Do you have the resources to do it? You know, you would assign a percentage value to each of those things. And then at the bottom, you know, you have a calculation that you run. You'd add up all those percentages and you'd get some number either at or below 100%. And so you'd be able to say, okay, look, we want to work on the first SDG because it's good for society, it aligns with our organization's mission, it creates business opportunity quantified at X amount, and at the same time, we think there's blank probability of success. Again, I'm not suggesting what you see by number two is the only way to do it. It's one way to do it. But if you leave this slide with nothing else, have it be, we need to find some way to show a relationship. Very quickly, going back to, missed one. Going back to the right-hand side of this slide, between the CSR plan or the public affairs plan, if CSR fits in public affairs for you, the SDGs, and the business. And again, when I say business, I don't mean you're a private company necessarily. But one of the most powerful ways to do that is this slide. So I encourage you to think about that and think about some ways in your organization you can apply it. Okay? Now, let's get a little bit away from the theories and the best practices. Let me turn things over to John from Washington Gas and Lighting, who leads some of the sustainability efforts there. His company is doing some really interesting work in this area, and I thought as we were putting together this webinar, it would be very useful for him to highlight it. He's got a couple key lessons he has learned, and he's also thought of some creative ways to sneak SDG language into company verbiage so that the SDG speak becomes part of what his company at large is saying. Let me turn things over to him.
Well, thanks, Chris, and thanks, everybody, for the opportunity to share some of what we're doing. And also, hopefully, as we get to the question and answer portion, can share some ideas, get some ideas from you all as well, because I don't claim to have all the answers. I'm still working on all the questions. So this is how we integrated the SDGs into WGL Washington Gas. And it starts with a concept that I've come up with many years ago, actually when I first worked at the Public Affairs Council, on taking an organizational development model and applying it to sustainability. So these are what I call the five keys to unlock the full potential from a sustainability program. And a lot of this is going to sound very familiar to what, similar to what Chris said about the SDGs and the SDG language, but alignment with your core business model. We all say it. We don't want to be an add-on. We don't want to be ancillary. We want to be core to the business. And we've done that in the way not only we talk about our sustainability efforts, but the way we prioritize our sustainability efforts, especially in the beginning. I've only been here about 2 years, and the idea is get some quick wins, and then they'll come to you and ask, what else can you do for us? The next thing is integration with the day-to-day operations. Your efforts and mine cannot be in conflict with the way we do our business every day, and Chris touched on this. You can't, to use an analogy, sin all week and then do your sustainability as your sort of penance. You have to show that the way you do your business follows the core values and the model and the purpose that you're describing. You want to empower and engage your employees at all levels, and this is critical for a number of reasons, one of which is no one's going to succeed if you're just the sustainability or the green team. And the other thing is, increasingly with the employees that are coming into the workforce today, they are looking for purpose as well as a paycheck. And this provides a way to provide them with that. We talked about the need for measurable, tangible benefits and results. And I think that's absolutely essential so that people can actually see what you're doing. It's not enough to talk about numbers and theory, but if you talk about the number of houses you built for the poor or the amount of some trees you've planted, those are physical things that people can see as manifestations of what you're doing and a living, breathing example. And the last one is stakeholder engagement. And what we saw earlier in the slides is, you know, what Anheuser-Busch and Chevron did, which is try to figure out a way to take all of this and present it in a way that is meaningful to stakeholders, not just those in the corner office, but the ones that are outside your business looking in. And one of the key points that I want to make, Chris said this too, but it is absolutely essential that sustainability, corporate responsibility, environmental, whatever your, or public affairs, whatever, or community relations, whatever you're calling your program, traditionally we need to move away from the use of the language of philanthropy, advocacy, and activism when we're trying to show that these are business strategies that enhance the business. And again, this applies for a not-for-profit as well because it's in the business of social change and social good. The same way it's moving share of mind, not moving a product or service, but it's still the business you are in. One of the things that we talked about and is picking SDGs, and what we did is we picked four that align directly with our core business and our business. I think there's a danger, and I've seen this often, of people who try to say they do them all. And you'll see examples in my slides where I could have chosen one or a different SDG, but I chose the one that had the more clear and less controversial alignment to our business. And when I say aligns with the business, it's not just your strategy map, which is your financial, operational, and cultural objectives that have been set for the 5 or 10 year plan of your organization, but it's also with what your stakeholders' expectations are, as Chris showed in that slide where it did the heat map. And I want to point out that right away when you hear me talking about it, I'm talking about financial, operational, and cultural objectives. You know, culturally, one of the biggest levers we can pull in corporate responsibility is to attract, hire, retain, and engage employees. But that's not a CSR metric. That's an HR metric. You're making your business helping them achieve their goal by wrapping it in a higher purpose than just let's get the number up. Let's engage our employees at the highest level. I think every organization that's growing wants to attract, you know, win the war for talent. Focusing, as I said, directly on the ones that relate to our business and our activities. And I use that design, that model, to report on my activities. So I relate it again to my business. This enables us to build the internal buy-in that's essential to have all levels of the company talking about it and all levels of the company engaged. And remember, by producing results, you get supported internally, and that includes being funded. So now let's go from the theory to this is the 4-step plan that I put in place at WGL. Well, the first thing, as I said, is I was new. I need to understand my business, which was a new business for me, energy, as well as the specific corporate culture or organizational culture. So what's on the agenda? That's the strategy map that I talked about. And every organization has one. Some of them are more formal than others, but spending any time in an organization, you start to hear what are your operations people concerned about, what are your finance people concerned about, what are your HR people looking at. And then what is the language we use to talk about ourselves? How do we describe who we are and what we do in our existing materials? I then went and started to integrate the language. And we're very fortunate as an energy company. One of the SDGs, number 7, is ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, modern energy for all. So I took that phrase and I started to insert it into scripts, into PowerPoints. And the first thing that happened when the CEO saw it is he said, "That's really good. Where did you come up with that?" And I said, "Well, it actually is one of the Sustainable Development Goals, number 7. So I didn't go in with the SDG and say, "This applies to our business." I took the business and then said, "Oh, by the way, it's an SDG." It's sort of like that old commercial, "Oh, it's in there." Once we'd done that, I started to use the SDGs as a framework to get to the more purpose-driven of the company, going from the tactical things that were in the strategy and putting a larger purpose. And you'll see an example of this in just a moment. So it's kind of a reverse way of doing it, but it's another, we found it was a very effective way to do it. And the last thing is the measurement component. We do have measurement, and I'll show you our measurement and our targets, but the question that we are struggling with, or I'm struggling with now as a corporate responsibility sustainability professional, how do we set targets that are both necessary and sufficient to achieve the SDG goals, in the case of climate change, of limiting the global temperature increase to 1.5 degrees centigrade? How do I know that what we're doing that we know impacts that, impacts it enough? So the next slide is actually some language from one of our reports, message from our leadership. And what I've done here for you all is not in the report like this, but I literally show how we've tagged the 4 SDGs by making it blue and putting the numbers to them. So our approach, so instead of saying our approach to energy, I've changed it to our approaches to providing affordable, reliable, sustainable energy. We talked about evolving customer and community needs. Now that's something that is in a lot of companies or organizations' missions. We want to evolve, we want to meet evolving needs, right? Well, that's sustainable cities and communities, and we link it to that one. We also have a major initiative in our company, I'll show it to you in a minute, about replacing the pipes in our system. Not because they're going bad, but because we want to replace them and need to replace gas lines before they go bad. It's a safety and reliability issue, but it also serves to reduce greenhouse gas emissions because the newer materials are more permeable and they have better metering in them that enables us to detect leaks faster and get out there and fix them. And the last thing is creating economic opportunities for our employees as well as our suppliers. And again, I'm using economic opportunities rather than the phrase job creation, because economic opportunities links directly to an SDG. Once the language is in there, we then went the next step in our sustainability report of literally framing it on the 4 SDGs, the 4 chapters in there of the 4 SDGs. This is a screenshot of one page, ensuring access to modern energy. And I pulled out a quote here, which is very typical of the way we talk about ourselves and have always talked about ourselves. But the interesting thing is, I talked about right here, because access to energy is a core component to health, well-being, quality of life for both people and communities. When I put that language in the draft that went to the C-suite, there's a, you're saying that we improve quality of life and health and well-being. And I said, no, the UN said that our products do that. Oh, leave it in. And the link in the that button in the report, the green button, actually links to the UN page on that SDG. I'm not going to go through all 4, but I wanted to take a moment and show you the pipeline one. So we stopped talking about how we are doing our advanced pipeline replacement program, which, as any, and people will smile along with this, has 3 names, one in Virginia, one in Maryland, and one in D.C., because each program has a different name and different people doing it, and a different regulatory, it takes regulatory approval to do this. So they all have different names. But what they have in common is an investment in resilient infrastructure. And we talk about how resilient infrastructure helps us prepare for and reduce climate change. But we chose resilient infrastructure as the framing because it was more directly related to our business and what people see in their community when they come to their street one day and discover that we've dug up their street and are replacing pipelines up to and including the ones that go right to their home. As I mentioned, by using this framing, we set long-range targets. We use goals for the 1 year and then long-range targets. These are our 2025 targets. And these are public, and this is what our company has pledged to you as members of the community and the world and to our stakeholders, and also have told our employees, and we work with our employees to set these targets. So for clean energy, our fleet and facilities will be carbon neutral. And this is using our own sites and our own fleet as a demonstration that we can provide energy that is carbon neutral. The second is a 38% reduction in the emission intensity of a gas that we provide to consumers, which basically means we're decarbonizing natural gas. Just as electricity is decarbonizing as it's shifting its sources, we are looking at the same thing. And the last thing is we want to have a measurable impact for our customers and therefore our community by helping them increase their energy efficiency and switch to options that will, over the course of the 10 years between 2015 and 2025, eliminate 18 million metric tons of CO2. All tied, you know, 38% is a resilient infrastructure metric, and economic opportunities is the 18 million. I'm sorry, that's sustainable cities and communities. Economic opportunities, we have a supplier diversity target. But the point is we have a target related to each one, but the question I have for the collective is how do we make sure that, should it be 38%? Obviously, if 38% reduction is more than we need to do to achieve 1.5 degrees centigrade, we're still going to aim for 38. We're not going to back off that goal. But if that's not enough to reduce and prevent climate change, then we need to up our target. And that's the metric and the math that we're still struggling with figuring out how to do. So that's where we are, kind of quick overview of where we started, how we got to where we are, and kind of the next challenge we're facing. And I'll turn it back to you, Chris.
Great. Thanks so much, John. We'll see if there's some questions about that at the end. One of the things I like...
Oh, I'm hoping for answers.
One of the things I like about this slide, and I hope others, you know, have a similar reaction, is that you've done a nice job here, like, demonstrating how the SDGs can be translated into actual numerical targets, because, A, that suggests that internally there's alignment, but also, B, it suggests you've found a way to kind of hopefully translate what can be seen as like a lofty thing, an SDG is seen as a lofty thing, into something specific for your stakeholders. I want to show one final slide, and then we will open the floor for questions if there are any. This slide is from a pulse survey. It's called the pulse survey that the Public Affairs Council does on a regular basis. And basically, we try and get, as it sounds, you know, the pulse of our industry, CSR, CSR, CR, public affairs, you name it, and what is affecting us. You know, issues that are directly related to how we do our jobs or trends that are shaping how we do our jobs. And one of the things that we asked about in the last survey, the 2017 survey, was what are your expectations of business in terms of involvement in social issues? And that, you know, could run the gamut from the bathroom bill that we saw in North Carolina, you know, to positions on discrimination, to taking a stance on socially driven causes or issues like the SDGs. And what you see here is that the expectations are increasing. You know, the majority of folks, 60, it's a really bad representation of my math there, 60 have some expectation that organizations like ours are going to get involved in these ways. And that is increasing over time. A lot of that has to do with, as, you know, millennials become the body of the workforce and the folks that we need to influence, knowing that that is really important to them. They think of social issues first and policy issues second. But what it generally means, I think, in closing, is it's an opportunity for us in terms of the SDGs. If you're looking to make an argument why it's important to get involved in the sustainable development agenda, here's a good one. That the stakeholders your company is looking to move generally have an expectation that the organization is going to take a stance on and have involvement in social issues. And the SDGs are a really good way to do that. So why don't we stop there? Hopefully we've talked about a number of best practices as well as tangible ways based on the comments that John made about how you can get involved with the SDGs, understand them, translate them for your internal stakeholders, show value, come up with metrics. Let's see if there are any questions. Is there anything that we didn't cover that folks would like to talk through? Or are there topics that folks would further like to explore based on today's conversation? Okay. Seeing no takers, we will close 9 minutes early, give everyone a little time back on their day. First, thanks to John Friedman from Washington Gas and Lighting for talking a little bit about what they're doing. I know he's looking for answers, so if any of you have thoughts on him, there'll be a way to get in touch with him. Second of all, you'll get the deck for today's webinar following the presentation. Remember the two tools that we talked about. If you click on the deck, it'll take you to that larger report. You'll also get a link to an evaluation of today's webinar. We would really appreciate your feedback. You know, we try and make decisions about not only what we're going to cover in the future, but how we're going to cover it based on that. So we would be very happy to hear from you. And if there's any follow-up that you have on this topic offline, feel free to follow up with either John or myself, and I think we'd be more than happy for discussing, happy to discuss it with you. With that in mind, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye.